Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup, and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
You'd be vomiting and dumping all day long
thank
with the
you.
Virus.
Yeah, Welsh is like, my kids are sick. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just see you when I come in November, if I come in November. Or next year this time. It's
yeah,
fine.
Exactly.
So I don't have
I avoided
to see
it.
Again.
Joe, let's talk about baseball. Let's do that. How about that? Everyone's like, shut the we can talk about baseball, dudes.
Talk about renting cars.
I brought this up earlier, and we have some kind of like player debates intertwined in this. We're talking about the Rays and the chaos and of the positive chaos, all the craziness that they're doing. And Wander Franco has been at the tippy top of it. I don't know how much coverage you've done in it, but I do know this. You put out a poll recently that, funny enough, was Wander versus Trey Turner. And my question with before even seeing that, Joe, was do you believe that Wander Franco is the best shortstop not named Trey Turner in fantasy right now? And I asked Boggs about it, but what say you with Wander and how much believability you have in him?
I'm not there yet. I'm not putting him ahead of Bichette. Even Tatis, when he comes back, I think the upside is still probably higher. Like, I think he's probably like 5-6 kind of range. That poll was more, I'm just taking somebody who's overperformed and underperformed. And Trey Turner was probably not the right name exactly. Like, if you're looking at player rankers, he's outside of the top 250 players on Yahoo. So that's kind of where I was coming from. And still, I mean, you could go either way, I guess, and you don't really know what's going to happen. But I think Trey Turner still clearly number one, and then Bo Bichette 2, Tatis 3. I'm not.
What if we switch that to Lindor, Joe?
Because I wasn't counting Tatis. I'm not even counting him because he's a right fielder. I know he qualifies in there. Bichette was kind of the marker, though.
Yeah, I know. I'm still taking Bo, I think.
But Lindor's a good point.
Lindor is close. But I don't know that we can take a couple week sample size and throw away what we did all.
Lindor hit a bomb today too. So yeah,
Lindor hit a bomb today. I'm
just to get better.
I worry that we might overvalue certain players, and we do. And not even that I worry, we do it for these first couple weeks. This "what have you done for me lately" kind of mentality really takes over. And I think Wander is fantastic. One of my bold takes at the beginning of the year was that he kind of my thought of him breaking out was like 15-15, 17-17. I think he might blow past that, but I think he'll be a second round pick next year at worst if he keeps this up. I just don't know that I'm ahead of like Bichette. I think he's probably like 5-ish in terms of shortstops. Maybe you can push him up to like 4, but I don't think he's ahead of Bo. You guys put him ahead of Bo at this point?
No. Well, Bogman doesn't, but it's literally who Bogman said. I really think that we're in a place where Wander Franco, when we come into like the All-Star break, we're going to look back and be like, oh yeah, this is where he's at. I mean, we can talk about Bichette, and you got to love a lot of the things about Bichette, but Wander's hitting the ball harder, which is great, 39%, which is equated to a better average EV, which is over 90, which he's never had before. He's getting the ball in the air more, you know, coming off of that injury from last year. I think obviously he's turning on balls more. He's got he's literally over doubled his launch angle. And what I love, barreling even more, 18.4% barrel percentage, under 5% his first 2 years. The health was a big key. He's seeing the ball better. It is a short sample size because those numbers, two bad games are going to like deplete the barrel percentage and stuff like that. So I don't cite those to be like, hey, look, everybody. But, you know, all the things are in line. And this was my hope coming into this offseason was saying, hey, look at what he did last year before the injury. And he's doing it again. And, you know, he's the catalyst to the best team that I really do think. I think the stolen base, where's Bichette as far as stolen bases go? I can pull it up here. Does he, I know he hasn't been running at the exact same clip and he just hit a bomb yesterday, but I mean, Wander is already four homers with two stolen bases.
Bichette doesn't have a swipe yet, but he's got four homers and he's hitting 353.
And this seems to be the track record. This was something that I think it was, someone had a nice little case study in the offseason about the declining age curve, especially with running on a guy like Bo Bichette and how the trends have looked like they're going to continuously go down. And it's also a team that doesn't really want to run and he doesn't have a stolen base. So I think that could be the differentiating factor here because Wander Franco currently is beating him in just about every category. I guess Bo does have a few more runs, but I guess he has four homers. I guess I didn't see that, but they're tied in there. But the stolen bases go in that favor. I think I'm going to say Wander Franco. I'm going to go with the early sample size on here. I guess I'm on an island on it.
Yeah, but you are. I mean, you're taking Wander over Bo?
I think so. I'm trying to look at like the full complexity of the season that because Wander is doing what I thought, like I think this is where we're heading. I think
what's Wander's ceiling? Like going into next year, could he be a first round pick? I mean, Joe just said he's potentially working himself into that second round as of right now. Obviously, he'd have to have sustained success to work in the first round. But do you think he can get into the first round of next year, like top 15?
I think he's like that Bichette. I think it's like in that Bichette. I think the Bichette one is perfect. That's why, like looking at Lindor, I think like Lindor is going to have fun counting stats, but the average is going to kind of be down a little bit. And you're going to look at Bichette and Wander, I think, as like a 1A, 1B to Trey Turner. Like that's how confident I feel about like where he's at. So I was just curious, Joe, what were the poll results on your poll? Because I didn't see it. I didn't click on it yet. I'm guessing this was heavily Trey Turner. It sounded like a lot of people were. Did you get a lot of people like
over 75%?
Come on,
I feel
did the pitching list crew come on here and be like, "What a question this is!"
I got a bit of pushback.
Pushback is a real nice way of saying people were rude.
The one where I got a lot of pushback was Bobby Witt versus Matt Chapman. I got a lot of pushback on that one. I'm just trying to have some fun. But it was 80% for Turner and 20% for Franco. But one in five people switching their opinion after only 2 weeks of play for Trey Turner, who's been like the number one player for. You know, maybe he's not number one every single year, but a top five player for the last 4 or 5 years. There's a lot of hype around Franco, and it could come to fruition. I don't know that I'd put him in that upper echelon just yet. Let's see it over the course of at least like half a season before I'm personally willing to say that.
Well, Boggs, you actually put an interesting debate in here. I'll let you set it up. Speaking of Matt Chapman, we were talking about Matt Chapman earlier. Leads barrels per plate appearance on the year. Hard hit numbers way up. I think he has the most hard hit overall hits in 9-game hitting streak. He's been crazy. And Bogman put this player debate together that I looked at and I was like, I'm going to change this. And then the more I thought about it, I was like,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are too easy.
It's actually good because it's like a high third base name versus Chapman, who was going outside. I think he was going outside the top 100. And I actually thought, like, if you think about the long term aspect of this question, it's good. So, Boggs, set up everything that you got here for this debate.
Yeah, Joe, Matt Chapman versus Alex Bregman. Chapman has the highest barrels per plate appearances and hard hit balls, 9-game hit streak. Bregman did just hit his first homer, I believe, today. So, and Bregman is a notoriously slow starter as well, usually builds up back towards the end. But I mean, Matt Chapman is the best hitter in baseball today, right now. It's, you know, everything StatCast, all the stats, everything says so. So, right now, are you liking this hot start enough from Chapman to push Bregman down the board for the rest of the season? Or is it just, hey, Bregman's got a track record. We know he's going to start slow. I'm still leaning on him because of, you know, both of these guys' track records, really. Or are you just leaning into what Chapman is doing now?
I want to give a homer take, and I want to say Chapman, even though it might not necessarily be the homer take, but I think it's still Bregman. You know, like you talked about, notoriously kind of a slow starter. I had them pretty close in my preseason rankings. I had Bregman as my 7th third baseman. I had Chapman 9th. But I feel
like that was a pretty big gap, though, right? That was definitely a tier change.
Oh, in terms of ADP, down to Chapman. Bregman was going in the 80s, I think, and Chapman like 140, yeah. I want to say, something like that. It was definitely a tier change, but I'm not ready to move off of Bregman just yet. As tempting as it might be, like I said, a big Toronto guy, but I think team context is pretty neutral. Obviously, Houston's missing Altuve right now, but I think overall it's fairly neutral. Bregman will have a more advantageous spot in his lineup. Chapman will typically, maybe he moves himself into like a solidified into the five hole, but I think he's probably like a 6-7 guy for the most part of the season. I think we'll see Kirk jump him in the order and he'll move down a little bit. I think Bregman will surpass him in runs and RBIs, likely batting average as well. Homers will probably lean towards Chapman, and then steals will be a wash. But I think it's still Bregman for me. Where are you guys at on this one?
Well, actually, I was going to ask you, do you think if there was, because you can't do one for ones in a third, but you don't treat third base for third base, it doesn't make sense. If you were to get a one tier upgrade of a pitcher, are you comfortable with Chapman's performance that you would trade? I'm trying to think of the names. I don't have them in front of me. But like, again, it's one tier. It's like from tier, you know, five up to four or six up
Bregman
to five.
Bregman and Gilbert for Chapman and Gallen.
I think that, well, okay. I don't think I wouldn't put Gilbert, but you have the right idea. Like the right idea is like you're getting a slight upgrade, like a Gallen and Chapman. You give away Bregman and maybe he has to be a little bit of a better pitcher than Logan Gilbert. But the idea is you've just upgraded on the pitcher. Are they close enough that you're like, yeah, Chapman, because he's doing good early? Or do you think you're selling low? Because Bregman, by the way, the last year, first 2 months, hit 233 March and April, 221 in May, and then it picked up in June, but it fell back in July, and he just demolished in August and then struggled again in September, October. So just kind of putting out there from batting average, that's how his year ended up going. But he was a 287 second half guy.
I think they're close enough where if you were giving me an upper tier, I mean, not upper tier, but a higher tier pitcher with Chapman and then call it Gilbert or whoever to go along with Bregman, I think they're close enough where I would take Chapman and the better arm. I think that there's not much of a difference, right? We're talking maybe, you know, 90 RBIs for Bregman to like 80, 85 for Chapman. I think it'll be a slight differences like that in the runs and RBI categories. I think average Bregman probably has him by 20 points or so. But I think it's close
enough.
That's
the thing. That's where you're getting the payoff for Bregman, is that we know that Chapman can crater in the average and really drag you down. Either in Roto or head-to-head, doesn't really matter what your setup is. So that's the risk you're taking in taking Chapman right now. Is
what about him
not cratering that average?
229 last year, 210 the year before. Like it can be ugly.
Yeah. What about a trade that is, you? Let's say you have this. You give up your Bregman and your Brandon Woodruff for Matt Chapman and Jesus Luzardo, two hot names right now. Could you give up the injured Woodruff and the kind of banged up Bregman for two hot players now, or is it too far off?
I think you're in the ballpark. I think that's something you'd have to seriously consider. Woodruff last year had there's something in his arm that caused him to miss time at the beginning of the year as well. I can't remember off the top of my head what it was, but repeated, injuries to the arm do worry you a little bit. I think this is shoulder inflammation this time around.
Yeah.
I'm not like that worried, but with the way Luzardo started out, and even the way Luzardo was last season when he was healthy, he was really on. If you give me Luzardo and Chapman, I don't even know. I can't fully actually say it there, so maybe I wouldn't. It's close, but I think it's a reasonable trade. I think it's reasonable.
Maybe I'll upgrade it here with the second debate. And I think I switched one of the names, but I love having it in. One of my favorite players so far this year has been Pablo Lopez. Three straight starts of 8+ strikeouts. He has been, you know, phenomenal. 36% K percentage, around a 29 K minus walk percentage. His expected ERA is top 10 percentile of the league. He's keeping batters' batting average way down. We've seen velo tick ups, blah, blah, blah. It's all awesome. Versus Drew Rasmussen, who's giving up about the same, no hits whatsoever, lower top 10 percentile across the board on contact, 35%. Check this out. This is absurd. 35.7% K percentage, a 0% walk percentage. So you can do the math there. And no hard hit stuff. So whoever the winner of this is might be a person we attach to this question. But which side would you take rest of season, Pablo Lopez or Drew Rasmussen?
I was sitting there for a good 15, 20 minutes thinking about this one when you sent me the sheet, Chris. And I think it's Rasmussen by a hair, but it's very close. Like, they've both faced terrible opponents. I think you have to look at that. And a lot of these stats will even out. Like, the left on base percentages are like upper 90s. I think it might be 100% for Rasmussen. And BABIPs are like in the low 100s. So it'll all stabilize. But I think I'm taking Rasmussen just by a hair. I'll take the young and budding star on what I think is a slightly better team. It's a coin flip essentially at this point, but I'll take Rasmussen for now.
Man, Boggs, when I look at this too, by the way, he's getting all his work off of, the only thing I'd love to see is he's not getting any whiffs off his secondary stuff. It's all off of, I guess he is a little bit of the curveball. I just noticed that, but it's only 8% of the time. The other is on the cutter. You'd love to see like some sweeper action in there. But which would you do, Rasmussen or Pablo Lopez rest of year?
I mean, honestly, it's impossible because like Joe said, it's so close. And you look at like, okay, well, Springs is also, you know, has a big change and is looking great. Same thing with Joe Ryan. Joe Ryan has struck out a bunch. So like the Twins and Rays right now have really improved these stats tremendously. I think I would probably lean towards Rasmussen just a hair over Pablo, because I like the team context a little bit better. And I know, you know, like every night the Rays want the best defensive matchups out there as well too. So, I would go with the Rays just, you know, Drew Rasmussen because of team context, just barely slightly.
You know, I thought I was muted for a second. What's interesting about looking at him too so far was last year, he was pretty much like a three pitch pitcher. And he's lowered the sweeper percentage to just throw more. So he's got another variant on his fastball with that sinker. He's throwing more in the curveball. And he's kind of taken that away from the sweeper to have like a curve. And it's just making him more dynamic. I have a really hard time going against Pablo Lopez because, like, I really like Rasmussen. I don't know if the K numbers are going to continue, but I think he just might be a lockdown dude. Pablo, I do worry about some of the blowups and stuff like that, but the K numbers are freaking real. They are absolutely real, but I'm going to go with Drew here as well. I'm going to sweep this one surprisingly, but I think it is crazy close. So
Jordan Walker singled, by the way, 12 game hit streak. So there you go.
What's that?
Jordan Walker just singled.
There we go. 12 games. We didn't ruin it on the podcast. So now we only have one more live thing to happen while we're going here. Okay. So Rasmussen and Matt Chapman to give away Bregman and Woodruff. Easy. Yes.
I'm keeping Bregman and Woodruff for me. This is one of those, I call it a mirror trade. Can I look myself in the mirror if everything works out bad for me and right for him? And I can't. Like, if I take Matt Chapman and he strikes out four times tomorrow and, you know, just reverts back to 210 Matt Chapman, I am going to hate myself the whole year for doing this trade. And if Woodruff comes back after 15 days on the IL and he's good to go and says, a little inflammation, they're being careful with me because it's early in the season, I'm good to go. I just can't look at myself in the mirror after doing a deal like that. So for me, I'm sticking with the established guys. You know, we're only 10, 12 games into the season.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's in this league.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
in this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
So I'm sticking with those guys, but it's close, so close to where for me, I don't mind if someone does this trade. I'm not going, what are you doing? I'm going, you're being a little risky, but I understand what's, you know, because of what's going on right now.
I feel like Rasmussen's a tier above Jesus Luzardo, and you were close on Luzardo, but you seem to be a little bit more timid, Joe, about Rasmussen being the other pitching piece.
Is he a tier above Luzardo, though? Is he really that much better? Like, the team context is a lot better, but like, just looking at their skills, you think he's that much better? I think they're pretty close, personally.
Yeah, it's not actually about the skills necessarily. It's about consistency. Like, I think Rasmussen is a low walk, consistent on one of the best teams out there, where Luzardo, we've definitely seen the big wars, but he's a bigger strikeout option. Like,
steroids.
He's a, what's that?
Huh? I didn't say anything.
You're saying mean things about players again? Yeah, I think just Luzardo, I think there's a lot more volatility. And like, my whole point was like, take on the guys going great right now with maybe questionable consistency versus like the consistent guys who are hurt or underperforming and like how that works out. I feel like Rasmussen gives a better safety net than you get with Jesus Luzardo, but you know, Luzardo from a fantasy perspective is putting up bigger numbers. So I was just curious that you were still wavering. And I think you're agreeing with Bogman here on that trade.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I think Rasmussen and Luzardo overall, like in terms of like overall ranking for SPs, I think they'd be fairly close within a five, seven spots of each other, probably. No?
Yeah.
I haven't done my rest of season rankings. I haven't updated since the draft rankings, but I think they'd be fairly close for me personally.
Yeah, I don't usually do that. I might do that this round. I might do like a mid, I might do an end of the month one, something like that. I haven't decided if I'm going to do that. I don't know the value on those necessarily. Outside of people just wondering, like, do I trade this guy for this guy? It's not even about the rank. It's more about like, you know, it's positional stuff. Boggs, I switched out this next one on you too, because you brought one good name and I pushed it. So set him up. I'm almost curious to get your take first on this debate.
I mean, you know my take here, but Jeffrey Springs versus Zach Gallen, Joe, in that one. And remember where you are. Let me answer this question, of course. But Springs has been crazy hot. Gallen looked a little weird. And his first two starts, start last night was unbelievable.
It was awesome.
It looked like vintage second half Zach Gallen from last year. So between these two guys, rest of the season, this is almost like what we were just talking about in terms of consistency versus what they're doing now. Are you going with Gallen still just because it's too early for Springs, or are you liking what you see from Springs enough to say, let's roll with them?
It's funny because this is a poll I did last week. I don't know if you guys saw. I put this out on Twitter last week. 63% of people said Jeffrey Springs. Now, this was
no doubt last week,
April 4th. The schedule has been completely opposite for both of them. And as a side note, how did the Rays get this schedule to start the year? Like four straight opponents who are likely to be bottom feeders in their division. I don't know how you get so lucky, but Springs has benefited to some degree, I think, from facing Oakland and Detroit. You know, I think we have to factor that in to some degree. When you look at what Gallen was doing in the first couple starts, not pretty. Dodgers and San Diego both on the road. So I had them, I was fairly in on Gallen. I had him as like my 17th starting pitcher, and I was pretty high on Springs too, but there was a fairly sizable gap at the same time. I'm not going to change that over because of a couple of good matchups. I'm in on Springs, but I'm not into the point where I'd push him up ahead of Gallen. This must be tough for you, Welsh, because you're an Arizona guy, but you're also a big Springs guy. I'm interested in what you have to say.
Yeah, I was hoping to avoid this. I got to tell you, I don't like being reactionary. I think I'm going to go Springs here. I love what Zach Gallen did in this last start. 11 Ks. He had a 53%, if I remember, whiff rate on the knuckle curve, which is crazy. 41% CSW. He was hitting his spots. The thing, though, is like you also see some of the inconsistencies. But that was something, because I put him in a trade video. I pointed out, like, dude, he played the Dodgers and he played the Padres. And Jeffrey Springs is on the opposite end. The things that stand out for why I think I want to hang with Springs here, which is a very, very tough thing, is 42% K rate that also has a new pitch mix. Like, we know that he's added this new pitch. He's got a sweeper in here. And he's lowered the percentage of what he was doing with the slider last year, and that is to add the sweeper. And that sweeper has a 62% whiff rate right now. Just another piece of the arsenal for a guy that is pinpointing the zones. And I'm very, very aware of this bad schedule. I think these guys are dead close. This is a person that is a buyer of Zach Gallen, but I think Jeffrey Springs is in that exact same territory. I'm going to go with him, and he's going to start tomorrow. And it scares me to say that because I believe in Gallen. I know I'm on an island between you two, but I'm going to go with Jeffrey
proud
Springs
of that take.
Because I'm not proud of it. No, I'm not proud of it. Like, yeah, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing there, Bogman. I caught the
what
joke.
Am I doing? I'm just asking you a question.
He's the pride of the Welsh's team is what you're trying to say here.
Yeah.
I'm not happy with it, but I'm going to go with Jeffrey Springs. I'm actually curious what you guys think as well. You can tweet at us about it. Jeffrey Springs versus Zach Gallen. All right. A couple things to end out here for you, Joe. Chris Bubich was the Fab King this weekend. So this is a little heat check on you on where do you sit off of everybody buying in and some of the big change. We've seen it across the board with the Royals as well. How real is Chris Bubich for you in staying in that rotation, and how much are you buying in?
I think to a certain extent, like I think in a 12 team league, it doesn't hurt to add him in there. Speculative add, obviously, with 15 teamers where we saw like a lot of NFBC leagues, people were bidding more than 10% on Bubic. I think that we need to keep our expectations in check a little bit. We're coming from a place of a 5.58 ERA last year, 4.78 career ERA over 60 starts, not a small sample size. Now, if things are changing, if he's a different pitcher this year, it appears like he might be. You know, he's not walking anybody. The strikeout rate has been fantastic. I'm not ready to jump in with both feet. I personally put a couple of small bids on him in NFBC leagues, like double-digit bids. Nothing crazy. I didn't get him. I'm kind of in, but I think you got to keep your expectations in check as well. Like, I think best-case scenario, he's probably a back-end 12-team guy where he stays on your team the whole year. But I think the odds are at some point he'll end up on the waiver wire again.
This is tough because we haven't done it. He hasn't pitched yet. Chris Bubic or Taj Bradley? Taj Bradley, top prospect, top 10 prospect, kind of universally guaranteed. Will he stay in the Rays? I don't know. I don't think so. But anything could happen. Would you like if it cost you dropping Chris Bubic? Let's say you got him for like 5% of your fab. Would you have dropped him for top prospect and Taj Bradley?
I don't think so, just because it's the Rays, and I worry about how long they're actually going to let him go every time out. Is he going to have a lot of potential for wins? First of all, is he going to be up beyond one or two starts? And then if he is up, is he going to consistently go five, six innings where we could actually see some W's there for fantasy? I think I'm still with Bubic, even though I don't think he's necessarily going to be a mainstay on your roster the whole year. I'm willing to ride this out. Where with Bradley, pitching is so volatile when these guys come up. We hope we know what we're talking about, but look what's happened with Grayson. It can really sting these prospects that we take a chance on. And Bubic, you know, I'm not sold, but we've seen tangible changes so far in his first couple of starts. So I'd probably go with Bubic, but I think you guys are probably going to disagree.
What about, no, I mean, I would go with Taj Bradley, but it's probably my lack of belief in Chris Bubic and the Royals kind of in general, but I'm game with it. What if it was a matter of Bubic or picking up and speculate on a guy like Brandon Pfaadt, or if there's another pitching prospect. I'm trying to think of another top guy, Kyle Harrison maybe, but like a top guy that could be coming up very soon. Would you speculate there or go with the, you know, helping me now guy?
It's really tough. I guess it depends on what kind of fantasy player you are personally. If you want to take risks, I mean, there's risks either way, but I think in that situation, I'd probably go with Pfaadt. I will defer to you on all prospect matters because I'm very, very far from being a prospect expert in any sense, but Pfaadt is somebody who has been hyped up quite a bit. I believe in the skills that we've seen in the minors, and I think that we could probably see it translate pretty soon at the major league level. When he does come up, I think that he'll probably stay. You guys obviously know a lot more about the Diamondbacks, but I think at some point, it'll be Bumgarner that doesn't have a job anymore. Hopefully we're trending that way and Pfaadt will have a regular role, maybe 20 starts down the stretch. We're with Bradley or Bubic, either one of them really. I don't know if I trust them as much as Brandon Pfaadt at this point. Bradley, I think he'll be back down soon, and Bubic is very volatile still. Even though he's been good, I think there's a lot of volatility there.
I watched the entire start of Brandon Pfaadt in his last one because his first one wasn't great. He changed back his pitch mix down from over 70% fastball down to around the 50s. He actually went 3 2/3 no hit innings against the Tacoma team, which had like Jose Caballero and Mike Ford and a few other dudes. And I thought that was really impressive. And he was like slider, curveball, fastball. And he had two walks in there, but he got squeezed. We're talking about umps in the Diamondback game. We're watching Boggs. He had four strikes taken away from him, two which would have been called strikeouts, and one that affected a homer. And I thought he looked pretty good. Another little interesting point, not pushing his innings. I think they're keeping around 70. Really makes me feel like they're trying to manage everything they can down in AAA, because this is a guy that goes 6 or 7 because they want to get these innings here in the majors, and they're just getting him right in the minors right now. I think it's something you notice when top starting pitchers who could easily go further are only going into like the late 60s or 70s as far as pitch count goes. I think that's actually a good marker for them coming up soon and not wanting to put many innings on them. So little Brandon Pfaadt. Last thing in here is just the guys that you're buying and the guys that you are selling. A couple players who've impressed you and you're buying their hot starts, or player two that you're worried about, Joe.
Well, I'm buying Jared Kelenic. Another home run today was like 485 or something like that. 3 games in a row with a homer. you know, I'm worried at the same time that we might be getting fooled again. But at this point, I think I'm willing to buy in that the breakout could potentially be happening, and I don't want to miss out on it. He's only like 50% rostered in Yahoo leagues. He's still available a lot, and I think that, you know, he's probably not going to pan out to be what Julio and what Bobby Witt, what we were projecting from Kelenic a couple of years ago. But can he still be, you know, 20 plus home runs with good?
Try a free sample of Berry Pie.
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
Never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day. Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear. Just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Steals. I'm very much in on Kelenic to this point, even though it could be a disappearing act that he does at some point, but I'm in as of right now.
Boggs, you didn't get Kelenic in the trade, did you? In the
trade? I didn't. So right. He probably won't. Well, we'll say healthy and not get hurt. But I think I'm with you, Joe. You know, Kelenic has looked outstanding. You know, the spring was good and everything, and that was kind of the thing. It was like, well, he always had a great spring, and then we got back to the regular season.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey. And terrible. You know, just worthless. And he is he's on fire right now. So hopefully he can keep it going, you know, former top prospect and all that good stuff. So I think I'm with you. I'm totally buying in on Kelenic now.
Any others you're buying, or are you getting to your cell?
Yandy Diaz, I'm also very interested in. I know that he had a scare with a shoulder, but he actually didn't end up missing any time back in the lineup today. Got a guy batting atop one of the best lineups in baseball, first base, third base eligible, can hit over 300. He's shown good pop so far this year, too. 3 home runs in 33 at-bats. Last year, only 9 home runs in 473 at-bats. He's one of those guys who just doesn't really hurt you anywhere. I think that he is an ideal guy to roster in any kind of league, really. I think even in 10-team leagues, you can find a place for a guy who has multi-position eligibility. And he's just providing stats across the board for you. Even though it's not like a ton of steals and not a ton of home runs, he's not hurting you anywhere. And I think there's a place for that kind of floor on a lot of fantasy teams.
Okay. Where are you out? What are you worried about?
Now, when I first got the sheet, I put guys that I'm like kind of selling high on. That was the way I viewed the question. Sure. So forgive Great. Me there. But Brian Anderson, I think a lot of people aren't really sold on him. Although, you know, he jumped up to over 80% rostered in a lot of Yahoo leagues. We've already seen it these last couple of days, him starting to fall off. He's gone his last offers, last 14 or so. But he's still rostered in a lot of leagues. If you can sell him off for literally anything at this point, I'd be doing it because he's going to be on waiver wires all over the place again very soon. There was no real upside in the profile. Got off to a hot start. If you can capitalize on that and sell, I would definitely be doing that with Brian Anderson.
Who else? Anybody else?
Yeah, Miles Straw to some extent. I think it's just people see the steals and they're jumping all over it. He's another guy jumped up over 70% rostered. And
he's hitting 9. Yeah.
We've played this game with him before. You know, he's batting 343. He has a chance.
I picked him up in a league, but it's a 16 man. Like there's nothing on the wire. So yeah, I mean, they're okay. But yeah, in 12, you are, as soon as he quits getting on base, he can't steal and he's worthless. So.
Zero power, zero upside other than steals. And there's steals all over the place this year. I don't see the need to chase a one category steals guy like him or John Birdie.
Lots of upside with Joe Errico. A lot of upside there. Good floor, good upside, big power. You find him over at Sports Etho. Joe Errico 99 on the Twitter. Anything particular going down? What day is the podcast dropping? Sell us on something.
They drop every single day. I recorded today's show right before I hopped on with you fine gentlemen. Going to be posting that one later today. Like I said, Nick Pollock coming on the show next week. We're going to talk some pitching outliers. That'll be one to be on the lookout for. Nick is obviously awesome. And we're doing daily pickup articles at Sports Ethos. We're doing a ton of stuff. We got premium baseball content. We got free stuff. You can find it all on the site at sportsethos.com. But great talking with you. Dan told me to let you know, stop being wankers. Get back to doing basketball coverage. That was Dan's message.
Yeah. All right. Well, I do respect Dan. As soon as somebody hires Bogman and I together full time, we will be back into doing basketball in some capacity for sure. We love Dan. We love Aaron. And we love you, my friend. Joe, thank you so much for hanging out with us right here on ITL.
I appreciate you guys having me. It's always a great time.
It's In This League. Voicemail. Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Stay here right now. So leave a message or whatever. Podcast listeners leaving messages stupid.
Voicemails in this league at gmail.com. Bogman. I gotta tell you, I think the voicemails are on the chopping block.
Oh, come on, guys.
Yeah,
let's get them in.
I don't have the patience for it, especially if people don't want to have fun with us. You don't have to have fun. Fun is not required. We will present fun if you don't want to partake in fun, and that's fine. That's totally fine. But voicemails on the chopping block, it was like two until Tuesday night, and then two more came in. We got one off of a Patreon post. You guys clearly don't like the segment. So prove to us you don't like the segment by not sending any in next week, and we won't do the segment anymore, and we will save 20 to 25 minutes of our life.
I mean, we can just do stuff. We can do emails, and that is always more successful, and we get more and all that stuff. But we want to hear your voices. We want to hear what your take is and all that stuff. So we'd appreciate it if you guys send them in, like the Welsh said, in this league at gmail.com. Send them in any time of the week. Doesn't really matter. We would like them just Tuesday evening, early Wednesday morning. That is when we want them.
Oh, yeah, but again,
by then.
Or don't. And we won't do the second. Yeah. And we'll have less time on the podcast, and we'll have a great time. By the way, Corbin Carroll did not walk, but he just hit a homer. He hit a homer live on here. Corbin Carroll, three. He walked around the bases four times, but did not take four balls. Corbin Carroll now, three homers, five stolen bases. I don't believe from a counting stats perspective, any rookie has a homer plus stolen bases more than Corbin Carroll. And his batting average dinked up a little bit, but Jordan Walker on the same day ties the record with Eddie Murray for 12 straight hits. So, you know, he's the guy.
He was an Eddie Murphy from 1912, by the way. It wasn't Eddie Murray from the... really?
I was going to say Eddie Murphy, but yeah. I'm like, that's not
no, it's Eddie Murphy. Well, it's from 1912. That's how you can tell it's not Eddie Murray.
I thought it was Eddie Murray. Okay.
So I mean, I have Eddie Murray card somewhere in my garage. So it's not Eddie Murray. It's Eddie Murphy.
Okay. Well, the clumps. It's the clumps used to have the record.
From 1912. So it's not the clumps. So
wasn't that the movie, The Clumps?
It is. Yeah.
Remember when people used to dress up like people and they like own? Remember when that was like a thing? It was like the Wayans brothers were like the white chick. Like when people would dress as everybody in the movie, like Mike Myers and Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, Mike
Why
Myers.
Why was that? Isn't it weird trends? Like that was the trend. It was like this whole movie, they're going to get all the bang for their buck because they're going to just have this guy be every character.
Is it even bang for the buck, or is that just the star being the most selfish person ever and having to play every single character?
What's his name? Mike Myers. Myers, yeah. And Eddie Murphy, both pretty big egos.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Maybe we should start to do that. We should do an episode where we'll just have all our different characters and we'll play all the characters on the episode, all the guests and stuff like that. We'll do voicemails. You know what? That's what we're going to do. Next week, Boggs. You and I are going to record different voicemails. We're going to record different voicemails as all the characters next week.
We're going to have at least 20 voicemails next week.
Not even accepting voicemails next week. It's over. Next week, it is Bogman, Welsh, and the Clumps. Ooh. That's what we're going to be doing. We are going to be doing no guest. We're going to do a voice guest as our own voices, and we're going to do the voicemails. That's what's going on next week. It's the Clump episode. Congratulations. This is what it's come to, everybody. Congratulations. We do have a couple. The best one is we do have our song. So, you know, maybe Jack, if he were feeling inspired and not busy, which, you know, he's a busy guy, maybe he could give us a theme song for our Clump episode. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to do it about
Jack. Just think and write an original intro song about the Welsh and I doing different characters on our own show, making fun of the guys that do their own characters in their own movies. All you got to do is do that and have it by next week. That's it. So
yeah, by Tuesday night. Yeah, we've given you all the inspiration. This should be cakewalk.
That's right.
Cakewalk.
Yeah, yeah. You already have your muse. So,
but I don't know if he can do lyrics in it because it's all us. Maybe he, you know, no, here's what you got to do, Jack. You play the guitar, send us the lyrics, and then we will pretend to be you and we'll sing the song.
And just tell us how we're supposed to sing it. You know, just do all the work.
Yeah.
And tell us.
But you do the guitar, but we do all the voices because we're the next week.
Jack, sorry. Jack is over here EGOTing.
Come on.
You know. On the show, so I'll send you that marker.
Jack has been trying to, like, desperately. He's just like, you guys, I'm really busy. I'll try to send some songs in, but he does have one. He's like, I can't do it every week. Come on, get the hell out of here. But we do have a Jack song here. So let's get to the voicemail. So we did have one of my favorite things. I, of course, love hearing from every single person. It is always a nice little joy when we get a brand new person that sends in. Nick sent one in, and I believe is going to be about Otno. So I don't know if this is actually going to end up being a great response we're going to have, especially
just
after
a question for you.
I think it has about scoring, and I'm not on the points format. I'm not playing on a points format of Otno, so I'm not going to be able to help here. So Nick, hopefully you got other stuff. We get to hear your voice. This is our boy, Nick L.
Thank you, Nick.
That has a video and we have to play. This is like
filibuster. And then you see Boba Fett's arm come out of the maw of the Sarlacc pit. And then Doctor Strange uses the thing. And this is how we tie the Star Wars and Marvel Universe together.
It's one of my favorite scenes in anything of all time when Patton Oswalt did that, by the way. You know that about me. It is
I was on Parks
favorite.
And Rec. And I know. It's all the way through.
I've seen that scene like 3 million times. All right. So we get to see Nick. We are seeing Nick because he sent a video, which is totally okay. So here's Nick.
Hey guys, you have mentioned this season playing in an Otno league. I'm presuming that's a league head-to-head points with the Otno scoring system. My question is just what do you think of it? How do you like it so far? I commission a league using that system. We've done it a few years. Personally, I feel like steals are devalued as well as saves and holds. So in the league I commission, I bumped up the value of steals, saves, and holds, but otherwise we seem to really like it. So just wondering how you guys like that scoring system, and thanks for all you do.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
One
Nick.
Thing I need to know, I wonder if Nick knows he was being videoed. I keep thinking about
this. Oh, he knows. He was looking. He sent it. Yeah, he knows.
He didn't look at the video. Like, I feel like this is very this is a voyeuristic voicemail. This is voyeur mails. Like, because I feel like we're looking into his world and he never looks over at us. And I'm like, Nick, don't do anything bad.
You want acknowledgement. You want a better camera presence if you're going to film yourself than Nick has.
No. I think this is great. I think it's great, but I don't need anything, especially camera work on it. But when you send a video and you don't look at the camera ever, it makes me think, do you know that you're being videoed in some capacity? Like, I feel like we're peeking into his world.
He's not naked. He's got his shirt on. He looks good. House looks good. I'm going to say Nick knows he was being recorded. So
okay. Nick's
because if
the,
it was me and I didn't know I was looking recorded, I'd be like, you know, hair crazy, shirt off, you know, just regular guy in my house.
Motion everywhere. So,
all over the place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Right. He's got crumpled like the Amish
everywhere.
Beard without the
top. A little bit. Yeah. I see it. No mustache. Right.
Yeah. No mustache. But it's really clean. It's really clean. No spot. Like mine is messy.
Good look.
I can't really pull it off. It's a good look.
Yeah. You good, got good spots.
Look, so yeah. Okay. Thanks for reminding me. Thanks. My wife is reminding me about the things that are wrong with me. In the league commissioned, he said, as far as the devaluation goes on the scoring, apparently the default, this is weird, 1.9 for steals, and they bumped it up to 5.8, and then saves were...
Wait a minute, What was 5.8? Steal is 1.9, what is 5.8 then?
That's what they bumped it to. So they're saying the default point scoring for stolen bases in Otno...
This is what your league has is 5.8.
No, this is his. This is it. He also sent this in the
email. Oh, okay.
Otno is not points-based. It is roto-based. Thank God.
Okay.
I hate to tell everybody this. This is an invite, this Otno one. It's a podcasters league. It's all podcast people, DVRs in it and stuff. Had they invited me to it with points, I would have politely declined. because I'm done doing points. I have one points league and it's one too many.
You're preaching the choir, brother. I'm down to seven leagues. All of them are on fan tracks. So
yeah, I'm done. I don't need a bunch of points. Like, I'm fine with one points league and that's all that I need. So I would have said no, but he put, he labeled some of his stuff. So apparently Otno's standard for steals is 1.9 points. So he bumped it up to 5.8. I think that's probably right. Saves was standard 5 points. He bumped up to 12, and holds was 4 points and he bumped it up to 10. The only thing I disagree with is I would devalue holds. Devalue it by a lot. Actually, I probably would keep holds the standard because I'm not a fan of, I know a lot of you guys are out there. You want save and holds league because you want to devalue closers and you want more guys to be in the pool and whatever. I don't like, I just would rather not do it. Like, make saves great again. And I would make them be at minimum double what holds are. So I disagree with that, but I like the rest of the stuff on there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Let's end it out how we love to end it out when we get him. It's a Jack Boyce voicemail. You can find him, I believe it's, because we haven't heard from Jack. Isn't Jack Boyce parody songs on Instagram?
That's right.
I believe. And Jack Boyce on Twitter. You should follow him. He is a phenomenal artist, and we are blessed when we get some. This song is called Kodai Senga Good Song. He says, probably not in mid-season form, but it's pretty solid. The great Jack Boyce presenting us all with our first parody song of the year, and apparently it's about Kodai Senga.
Kodai Senga Good Song. His ghost forecast some style. And so we came to Flushing to see him pitch there for a while. And there he was, the Mets' new toy, and dazzling to everyone's eyes. Striking out men with his finger, swinging strikes, oh my word. Filling the stat lines, allowing few dongs. Filling my stat lines, allowing few dongs. Filling whole lineups with his throws. Filling my stat lines.